Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 20, and this week's guest is Diane Peterson. We talked with Diane about how many cameras she has, a few cameras that she made, specifically her anamorphic cameras, and her army of flat people. All right, we are back. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. This is show number 20. We made it to 20.
20.
Don't start again, Andrew.
That doesn't work, does it?
No. But this week's guest, we have Diane Peterson. Diane, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, we got a... happy to have you here. I know we've had a few problems with getting you on with scheduling and everything, but you're here now, so we're ready to talk about your mannequins.
Great.
And Andrew, you have some questions. What have you been thinking about, Andrew?
I've been thinking about paper negatives. I've been thinking about your curved plane cameras, which I just love.
Yes.
And also your storytelling, and I'd love to just be inside your head to work it all out. So maybe you could just, a bit like Harry Potter, you know, when he takes that memory thing out with his wand
and yes,
pops it into the into the pond. Well, just consider us your memory pond.
Little glowy. Just consider us your little glowy thing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody that would want to be in my head. It would be crazy. But I guess the thing is, I've been a doll maker since I was 8 years old, and which I know sounds strange, but I always wanted to be the little girl with a Raggedy Ann doll, and my mother couldn't sew a stitch, so I decided I would have to learn how to do it myself. So I've always made dolls, and then about 10, 11 years ago, where I was living, I really had nobody to take pictures of. So I decided I would make my own people. So they're all life size.
Wow. Make your own friends.
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of like that. So I started making them, and I have about, I guess, seven.
Awesome.
Seven or eight right now. And I have to make one more, and then I think I'm done because I don't have anywhere to put them. They have
so these aren't. I thought at first they were like shop mannequins, but these are things you actually made. The mannequins that you're dressing up and posing in a lot of your images.
Yeah, my jigsaw and I go and find an empty warehouse, and that's where what I do. I cut them out and sand them.
So they're flat.
Yeah.
Flat images.
Yes.
Flat people. Gotcha.
Flat people.
Yep.
Growing flat people.
Yeah. Huh. They kind of have personalities, though. I mean.
Oh, sure.
I like them a lot.
They become part of the storytelling. I mean, there's a number of images. There's the one where they're all, which I find quite creepy, where they're all kind of hovering over a bed, and then there's someone lying in a bed. There's nothing, actually, nothing really as scary as dolls, are there?
If you
photograph dolls in the right way.
Ooh, yeah.
Dear.
The first, ooh, when I first made them, I would have them standing in my cabin, whatever. And then I'd kind of forget about them, and I'd walk downstairs in the morning or something, and they'd be standing around the corner, and it would kind of give me a start. But
no,
I'm pretty
so
used
creepy
to them by now. There are people that I open the closet. I have them in a kind of a pantry type big closet. And I open the doors, and some people are like, those are kind of creepy. I think, you know, I don't mind if people say they're creepy, though I did have one kind of well-known photographer. We won't say names, but.
Oh, go on.
Nobody's listening.
he told me, he didn't tell me, he posted on Facebook, and he wasn't kind, let's say.
Oh.
He said those are really too creepy, and I think that's not a good idea. And I wrote him back and said, you know, did your mother ever tell you that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't
say anything?
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, I think the real creepy ones are those China dolls when you know, when they're just staring at you.
Yes.
And they have one eye poked out, like cracked. So you so you carry these mannequins around. We'll call them flat people, maybe. And you just Do you keep a few with you at all times when you're driving and you get an idea, or do you just kind of see something and come back? You know.
More like that. If I see something that I think I can work into a picture, whatever, I'll go home and get one and put it in my funny little 30-year-old car and drive back. And I've had some people, I took them out to a house that I like to photograph where I live now. And I had them a couple of them standing there. And it's on the main 55 north-south highway to get up here. And there were a couple of people that really slowed down, and somebody stopped and kind of made it, you know, like they were going to turn around, but they really were staring at me. And sometimes when I carry them and put them in my car, I get people saying, oh, I thought you were carrying a person.
So, sure.
Even though, yeah, even that's though stiff. They're flat.
And their arms, because you've got the upper arms and their lower arms have a hinge through them, or a little pin,
yes,
don't they? So
yes,
they must sort of, their arms must move around in a sort of Captain Pugwashy type way. Do you remember Captain Pugwash?
No.
You've never had
No.
Captain Pugwash was a TV character. They were cardboard cutouts, and they were just animated, and they had arms that moved like I can imagine your
yes
people do.
I'm
staring at the image, the one I want, well, one that particularly strikes me because of clearly the story behind it, and it is that one with those three flat people. One of them looks like he's got the masks. Come on, the masks are not nice, are they? Anyway, two of them. There's a normal kind of lady, and then there's these two guys next to her. I think one of them's got a pinafore on and a dress, so maybe that's I don't know what that is. That's some kind of Norman Bates character. And then you've got these two. Then you've got a bed with a bird sitting on the on the banister, on the headboard thing.
Oh, that's
yeah, we're going back a few
old
years now. Oh,
yeah.
I know. I've been going back. This is July the 19th, 2015.
You have to remember, Andrew is he's a stalker, basically. He won't kill you. He just
And then you've got two more of your flat people right at the foot of the image, haven't you? And these three kind of looking at them. So what's going on? What's going on there, Diane?
I think, I don't know for sure, but that may be one that I took. I used to have a little camp trailer.
It does say that. Yes, it says a 45-minute exposure made in my tiny camp
trailer. Yes. And I really, really miss that little camp trailer, because I would put all my mannequins in there and a bunch of props and so forth and so on. But when I moved, I couldn't take it. So I don't have that anymore. But that was just, I don't know how to explain how my brain works.
Yeah, I mean, what possessed you really to make that image, which I love, by the way, but what possessed you? And is that a real bird, or is that a stuffed bird that you have? That must be a stuffed bird, mustn't it?
It is. It's just a little stuffed bird. And
unless you tied it to the bed.
No. It's a stuffed bird. And really the thing about that is that I found those beds laying out in the out in fields, and they were all, you know, dirty and everything. And then I brought them home and I cleaned them up, and then I put them in my trailer. And then I thought, well, I'll put one of them on the bed and have the other girls looking at them, and just as if they, you know, if that was a normal thing to do.
Right.
I guess the thing with pinhole photography is I kind of have an idea of what I want to achieve, but 9 times out of 10, something else comes out of it, and I'm usually happy with it.
Sure.
Because it is unusual, and to say I'm unusual and eccentric is kind of putting it mildly. I mean, how many people have 7 mannequins that they take around with them?
Flat mannequins at that.
Flat people, yeah.
Flat people.
Flat people.
So I do love it. And is the lighting all just from the outside of the trailer?
Yes.
You're not using any artificial light? No. It doesn't look like you're using any artificial.
That's why the 45-minute exposure.
Yeah. Cool. And it says you made it with a tin can pinhole camera.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I'm really intrigued by all this stuff, really. Because we had Jaina was talking about her anamorphic circular things last week.
And I think that she uses more actually defined anamorphic pinhole camera.
Yeah,
I use tins anywhere from 2 inches to 4 inches in diameter. Mm-hmm. And I just think they're the greatest pinhole cameras.
Yep.
I mean, they cost basically nothing, and it cost me basically nothing to make them.
And so for this one, are you're using, it doesn't say, sometimes it says whether you're using paper or film.
Oh, I'm using paper.
And are you putting where's the film inside the can and where's the pinhole?
So visualize visualize a tin.
Uh-huh.
A little coffee tin or
a biscuit tin.
a biscuit tin. There you go. And I put the pinhole like halfway between the top and the bottom on the rounded edge.
Yep.
And then my paper, and I usually it's 5x7 because I particularly like that size, wraps about halfway around. So it's probably about a 3.5-inch diameter tin, and it's probably at least five, maybe 6 inches tall.
Yep.
And they're easy to make, they're easy to maintain. They work pretty well in most situations, and because they're rounded, you get a little bit of interest in that with that curve.
That bent kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you use those, Diane, do you, and you put the lid on, do you put tape around the lid or does just putting the lid on keep it light tight enough?
Most of them, I put tape around.
Right.
They're, I particularly like these Williams Sonoma hot chocolate tins.
Yeah.
And so I wait until after Christmas, and then they usually have them on sale because the hot chocolate costs like $19 for one of those tins.
Wow.
I know. So I wait until they're on sale, then I buy two or three.
Oh, but yeah.
They're perfect because you don't need tape on them because of the way the top fits down over them.
It's nice and tight.
Yeah, they're the perfect pinhole camera.
Funnily enough, I was just looking in my cupboard to see what I could make a pinhole camera from. And I saw a hot chocolate. There's a hot chocolate. Well, it's not really a tin. It's one of those made with heavy-duty sort of cardboard.
Paper.
But it's paper with round with an opaque plastic push-on lid, you know, and it had foil on. And it's not. I don't think it's as big as that. It's probably 4 or 5 inches across, and similar height. So I was thinking, yeah, that's it. But I said to my wife, "Whose is this? Do you want it?
What are you going to do with this?
It's full of chocolate." So she said, "It's George's. That's our daughter, and she's coming." I said, "Wow, does she want it?" She says, "Yeah, I expect so." Oh, I said, "Can I put the chocolate into a bag?" So I've got to negotiate with her now. But you make your own, you drill your own pinholes, don't you? I read that somewhere.
Yes, I make all my own. I buy these little drill bits from a company in the East Coast. In fact, I've talked to him several times because he knows what I do. Little micro drills.
Hmm.
And I buy assortment of them.
Wow, because they break, presumably.
Well, yeah, they're pretty tiny, so yeah, they can break.
Using those in a little hand drill
they come mounted onto like a normal drill bit end that you would just put into a normal drill bit, and it's just a super fine tiny little piece of wire coming off of it? Basically, are they that thin?
They're that thin, but it has a little shank on top, and I just drill it by hand.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't have any drill bit thing that would be that small to hold it. No.
Okay. So they're just coming actual just bits.
Yeah. If you and the danger is if it went too fast, it would just heat up and break, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I just do it really slowly.
Huh.
And I have brass shim that I've bought, and I'm just about to the point where I think I have enough pinhole cameras. I think I have about 85.
Wow. That'll keep you going for a bit.
It will.
But I know 85 of homemade or
yes.
shop made?
No. Oh, homemade.
Homemade.
Yeah.
I know I saw on your Instagram page you have a camera that you made that it looked like it had like peppermint sticks on it or something. It was probably 5 or 6 or 7 inches tall and maybe three inches around or so. And I think Andrew, I think you might have tagged me in that, Andrew, for some reason. And I started thinking, I was like, well, that looks so familiar to me. And I walked into my garage and I had the exact same can sitting under my garage in line for, you know, production.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of stuff that I want to make out of cameras too. I've gotten to where I have kind of slowed down on making like the single shot cameras just because of time and everything going on. It's hard for me to get out to develop it. It's been so hot here. So
yeah,
I have a whole line of test subjects. So I'm excited to get out and give that a try because it's really a tight circle too. So I'm thinking about using 5x7 paper like what you're talking about so that the paper doesn't come all the way in touch where the pinhole is, but just a little, just an inch or two on the either side of the pinhole. So maybe you'll get that. I'll get that same kind of look with it.
Then you could put your pinhole in the top of the can, and then sort of that. Then you're getting like Jaina was talking about. Then you're into the world of anamorphic sort of.
Yes.
I have no idea. I haven't gotten that far with any of that stuff yet. But
yeah, but if you've got your paper wrapped around the diameter, the inside of the diameter, mm-hmm. and then effectively leaving very little hole for. A little space for a hole on the curvy part. If you put your hole in the top, and
yep.
then you and Jaina was saying, don't point it directly at the subject, but tilt it back.
I was going to say,
then you get the light coming through, and it's hitting that paper at all different angles, isn't it?
Exactly,
gives it the weird distortion.
So if I wanted to take a picture of, let's say I was at a park, so everybody uh-huh. else can kind of understand, and there's a line of trees or something there. And I have a camera like that, I wouldn't stand it up like normal because the hole's on top. So I would have to lay it down and it would be making the image on the paper as it would be if the hole was on the front, but the hole's on the top. So you have to lay it down.
Yeah, so what you want to do is have your paper wrapped around and have where there's a seam in your can,
yeah.
have it almost touch that. So consider that seam as looking towards your subject. And then your pinhole is on top.
Sure.
And then you move your camera just slightly, almost not 45 degrees, but not facing totally up, but not facing totally 45 either.
Just slightly tilted.
Yes.
Huh.
With your pinhole on top, and that's how you get an anamorphic.
So you're not pointing your pinhole really at the image. It's kind of at the sky, but slightly towards the image you want.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's crazy. I'm going to have to give that a try. That sounds neat.
Yeah, that's why I was so excited last week. That's what I've just got. And it's so easy. And I've actually got a couple of James Guerin's pinholes. Anyway,
yes.
just sitting in my drawer, so I thought I might just use one of those. I've got a point three and a 0.15, I think.
So then theoretically, if you had a can or a container that you could almost touch the seam with like a piece of 5x7 film, you could do the same thing, but instead of paper, you'd just be doing it on film.
You could do film.
Oh wow, yeah. I like that. I don't like shooting with paper. I'm not a big paper fan, so
Well, I was very interested because there's a lot of buzz on a lot of buzz. I mean, in our little world,
we are buzzing, Andrew. Yes,
paper negatives. There's a lot of chit chat about it. And I've over the many years that I've been photographing and doing film processing, I've never really played around with paper negatives. I've read loads about it in the Ilford manuals and things, but never done it. But I kind of understand. I think. What to do now when Heather came on our show, Diane, she does these massive with her yellow truck, you know, she makes sort of 60 odd 8x10
yeah
negatives that she processes and then just displays it as a collage of negatives.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But when you've got your take your negative out of your pinhole tin, you're developing it in paper developer, and then you're putting it into contact with another sheet of paper and shining in larger light through it. Are you to make a positive?
Yes.
Just mm-hmm. contact print. Yeah.
Contact print.
And do you do any manipulation on the back of the paper negative? Because I know I've read about people with charcoal pencils, you can effectively add more density or to certain areas.
I have thought about doing that, but I haven't done it. What I like to do, I develop my paper in kind of a two-step process a lot of time. Like sometimes I will develop it very quickly in Cafenol until it just starts to come out, and then I'll put it in regular paper developer.
Like Dectol.
Yeah.
I got you.
And it kind of makes it interesting, you know, just.
Well, a lot of photographers in the past have used, well, probably still do now, a combination of developers side by side, hard and soft.
Yes.
So one works on the shadows and one works on a slower working one, then just allows those highlights to build up a bit more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Or you can use water baths as well and have a standard developer and then watch it by inspection and then take the image out and just lay it in the water bath. And that just slows the development right down and allows where the developer hasn't expired, where there's still some activity left, the water bath allows that area to slowly build up density, and that helps control the contrast as well. So that's another way you can do it.
So, Diane, when was the first time that you kind of came across pinhole photography? I like asking people when their aha moment was with it, you know, whether you were just like, oh, this is the greatest thing, this is it, you know what I mean? And then, like, everything else just kind of fades away and you just...
Was it like a Road to Damascus moment, like Paul on the road to Damascus, or Saul as he was then? Or was it a gradual realization over time?
Well, I had been taking pictures before 2006. I mean, I had a camera or two, but nothing spectacular, nothing exciting or interesting. And then I got my first camera in 2006. And about the same time, I picked up a copy of Black and White Photography, the one out of the UK, not the American one. And it was... Pinhole Special.
Yep, I remember.
And I have it. I love that magazine. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this all about? So I slowly kept asking questions. I kept trying to find out information, and a little bit at a time. And that was it. I was totally hooked. It really became my favorite thing to do. And that was 2006, and I've just, from then on, I've just tried to hone my craft, I guess you'd say. I still love all kinds of cameras, but I got that first camera. It was digital, and I knew within probably 3 or 4 months that I really wasn't interested in digital. It didn't serve my purpose.
Sure.
In that article from 2006, and I do remember the article. In fact, I did have that copy. I had every copy from issue 2. I never had issue 1. And they were taking up so much space, I gave them away to somebody.
He used those to light his barbecue charcoal.
And oh now I have, because I subscribed to it from issue 2, and I don't subscribe anymore, mainly because I got a bit fed up with it. But the images are still lovely. I flip through that magazine every month, and then if it looks good, I buy it. If not, I don't. But I do remember that one. So it's really interesting that article inspired you. Do you remember who the photographers were?
And you know, the one that it was interesting. I really like her work. Name is Katie, I believe. She's from Scotland. Oh my goodness, what is her? And she actually has commented on my work, you know, at different times.
Katie Cook.
And I thought she lived in Scotland, but here it says Suffolk. I don't know, but her
near,
work
near Neil Piper.
Her work absolutely fascinated me. She does a lot of portraits and self-portraits. Okay. And so, of course, I would read every single word that she wrote. And I would read everything. One of the people that was featured, he said he wasn't interested in using washing up bottles. So I believe he's British. And I think he shoots mostly on film. But it doesn't matter. I'm just interested in what they had to say. And, oh, my God, my battery's going to die on my phone. Oh, no.
Okay. Well, let's take a break right there.
Okay. Let me run home and get my charger.
Okay. We'll be back in just a second. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Diane, you're back.
I'm back.
No phone, no dying phones.
Nope.
And there's Andrew. So we were just talking about your coming to Pinhole. I don't remember where we were at, honestly.
Well,
we were.
It's been very exciting since you've been away, Diane. Running back to get your charging lead, I went outside to check on the barbecue and stood on a bumblebee.
It got stung.
No, really?
Yeah, I was talking to Corey because we were chatting while you were going off, and I stood on a bumblebee.
Ow!
And it flew away. Normally they leave their poison sacks in you, but this thing flew away. But I'm a brave little soldier, so I managed to...
He's a big baby.
Yeah. but I had to go and get a beer out of the fridge to just numb the pain.
Numb the pain of it.
Yeah, what I've done as well is look at some of your more recent posts.
Yeah.
On your Pinhole Queen site. I don't know whether that's your regular place, but
it
just goes up to August the 10th, 2016.
Well, I think there's some different dates in there. I don't know why that's like that.
I don't know. There's a couple on here. There's the one with recycling adventures captured with a pinhole.
Yeah.
And one that's just called Tin Can Camera, which is just beautiful. And I was going to ask you about Tin Can Camera. It does say August the 10th, 2016. So I don't know. But it says on page 1 of 12 of the Pinhole Queen.
I have no idea. I know.
No. Do you know the image I'm talking about? Tin Can Camera, ... And it's a picture of one of your beds. And you've got a flat dude lying on it. And... it's got a brownie tone, and there's all kind of, it almost looks like a double exposure or something, but I don't think it is.
Maybe I can find it.
Yeah.
I have my iPad here. Maybe I can. I don't know.
Yeah, not to worry. But I was just going to ask you.
I would look for it, but I don't want to mess up my phone because.
No, I think that's not a good idea.
I'm looking at it on the computer, so I was going to ask you about the title "Tin Can Camera," but it's just describing the vehicle you use to make the image. But this is just lovely. It almost looks like it's got a starry sky about it, but I don't know. That's just the weird effect of using the paper negatives.
Yes, yes, and playing with the developer.
Right, is that what it is?
Yep, it is. Sometimes.
So you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just was going to say sometimes you get some really different things happening when you do your developer like that. I mean, if I would use regular paper developer first, then use Cavanaugh, and I just sort of splash it around in there, and sometimes I paint the developer on. I lay the image in my little thing I develop in. It's like a little plastic thing. And I might just paint, not knowing what I'm painting, because obviously it hasn't developed yet, but used a nice brush and paint some of the developer on in a couple places, and then quickly wash that or quickly put it into a different developer and just to see what will happen. I'm a big experimenter. So
I know people get great results with Cavanaugh in film, but I don't think I've ever heard of anybody using it on paper, but I suppose there's no reason why not.
Clearly. Yes, I do know who told me about using Cavanaugh. It works wonderfully. I really don't use it on film that much. I use it on paper.
Well, you could, I mean, It's not that far of a stretch because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you could technically use, you can use Dectol to develop negatives.
Yeah, you can.
Sure, know? I mean,
sure.
It's not that far of a, just a different dilution or you know, to where the paper's, to where the paper's happy with it. So that would be what you
And Ilford make an off-the-shelf developer called PQ Universal, which is, you can use that for both paper and film, PQ Universal.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. That's new to me.
And that would, presumably the P stands for phenidone and the Q stands for hydroquinone. So it's got those two components.
Well, I don't know what page you were looking at, Andrew, because on my Pinhole Queen, my latest image that I uploaded was from Norwich, and it's May 27th, 2018.
Yeah, I saw that on my phone, but since I'm not looking at my phone now, I just quickly did a search on my computer. Maybe I'm just on the wrong site now, because... it says, I am an American photographer primarily focusing on pinhole images, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's in 2016, but it's a beautiful image. I did see the Norwich ones earlier when I was looking on the phone. So,
actually, one of the pictures, I think it's the fourth one down on the Pinhole Queen, and it's dated May 20th, really shows a good example of doing the anamorphic with the tin, the little tin. And I have to tell you that the tin that I use to make all those is about 2 inches, 2 1/4 inches. So the 5x7 paper really is tight up to meeting each other.
Almost touching.
Almost touching, because obviously there's no pinhole there. It's in the top. And that tin cost $1.
That's awesome.
$1 tin. $1 camera.
So I'm going to ask one more question because we talked about it a second ago, but I'm just processing it through my brain. On the lid of the camera, do you put your pinhole exactly in the middle or do you kind of offset it off to the side? It doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter. You're just going to get a little bit different.
Sure. Different reaction.
Yes.
Huh. That's good to know.
So my first experiment over the summer was going to be a little matchbox camera, but I'm much more excited about taking a can and... and doing an anamorphic and also just having the pinhole on. I'm going to make two. I'm going to make one with the pinhole on the curve plane and one with it in the top.
Yeah,
because I have two pinholes from James Guerin, so I'll just use those.
You can use the same camera. Just have,
make two.
Have,
yeah.
Do
yeah,
a
yeah.
Hole,
ooh,
you know?
A proper multi format pinhole camera.
Yeah. Just put a piece of tape over the top one and just use the side one. Or put a piece of tape over the side one and only use the top one, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. There you go. I didn't think of that.
But somebody that does really great tiny little pinhole or matchbook stuff, I mean, she does a lot of things, is a Swedish pinhole, Lena. Is it Kahlberg? K-A-H-L. Her little, I think of her when I think of matchbox pinholes because she's did so many. When I was first starting out, I would always see her things.
What was her last name?
It's K-A-L. She's on Facebook. She's a friend on Facebook, and it's Lena, L-E-N-A. I will look up here and see if I can tell you. But her work is great. She is in Sweden, I believe.
Is she the one who does one-off little 35mm frames, or does she have the canisters taped on the side and you roll it through? I remember somebody, it was a few years ago, so it may be the same lady I'm thinking about, and this person was just cutting out individual bits of 35mm and putting them in the matchbox. And doing one shot matchbox pictures.
I don't know. She could be. It's Lena, L-E-N-A, K-A-L-L-B-E-R-G. And she she's inspired me a lot. I don't know.
This is great, you telling us all these things, because this is how we get our ideas for other guests. We can reach out to other folks and
have
one
come
thing
talk.
Leads to another. Have them come talk. Yeah.
She's really interesting, her work, and it's always been fascinating to me and has inspired me a great deal. There's several people that have inspired me. I like the idea of cutting out one little piece of film and putting it in a 35mm camera that you've turned into a pinhole.
Yeah.
Because I've done that.
Well, see, I'm on the same boat with you in that Diane, because I'm starting to work towards the one shot camera. You know, instead of having like a roll film camera with me where I can take 12 shots.
Yep.
I'm going to start just taking out, you know, like I just take out one shot camera, take a picture with it, unload it at home, reload it so you have it ready, and then develop it and just kind of really pay more attention to what you want to shoot and what you're trying to get across and your subject. And got one shot, you know.
Instead of taking
five shots with it and being, let's pick the best one. Well, no, let's just do one. Your first instinct of a scene when you walk up to it, take that shot with it, you know, and that's it.
I'm really glad you said that. You know, I've done this with paper a lot. I cut out little pieces of paper and put it in cameras and that I've turned into a pinhole and put some tape over the back so no light goes through. But I am always amazed at when I do load up a regular camera, let's say, to shoot a roll of 120 film. I get lost somewhere. I can't get through the whole roll that well. I end up using half of it, and then I have to develop it because I've got to see, and I'm always intrigued. Yeah. I'm intrigued by people like Todd who make these beautiful cameras, and every shot it seems he takes, it's all beautiful and fascinating. I think I get lost somewhere. So that's why I prefer the one only at a time.
Yeah. That, you know, that I kind of went through the same thing when I was shooting digital and like going and shooting sunsets, and you're there with the digital camera and you have 20 minutes before the sunset. So you start taking pictures and then you take 5 or 10 minutes after the sunsets and you're still taking pictures, and you go home and you have 150 images of the sunset and you're trying to pick the best one. You know, why not just wait till that 1 second when you have the light that you like and take that one picture? That's what I'm going through with my, like my Reality So Subtles right now, where it's 120 roll film camera. I'll shoot 2 or 3 things of one scene, you know, but here recently I've got to where I'll only take one frame with it, so that when I develop my roll, that every frame of the roll is different, instead of having, you know, taking a picture and then being like, oh, well, I think I kind of like it from this angle too, then take one from this angle, then take one from the other angle.
I think as you become familiar with the tools, then you can put that to the back of your mind, can't you? Mm-hmm. Just concentrate on the image. I mean, I've just come back from Wales and I was shooting, apart from pinhole, I was shooting with a large format camera, but actually with a 6x17 back on it. So there were just 4 frames. So that 4's okay.
Yeah.
And I've got to a point now where I'm happy, you know, I'm familiar with FP4 and HP5 enough to know that when I make an exposure, I don't need to repeat it. So
yeah, right.
And I've been developing some rolls yesterday, and the negatives just look gorgeous, you know. And I've got 4 distinct images, having instead of just having 2, you know. So yeah, I think be familiar with the tools you're using, and then it becomes second nature, doesn't it? You can concentrate on the image.
That's kind of the same reason I don't meld well. Get along very well with 35 millimeter, because a 24 exposure or a 36 exposure roll in a camera is like, you might as well shove spikes in my eyes.
You can load your I mean, I shoot 35 mil. I have a Nikon F2 that I use, and I went through a phase of questioning whether I needed to carry on with 35 mil. And I sold most of my 35mm cameras. Then I bought a Nikon F2, which has been a revelation. So I use that, but for very specific applications. So for
example,
last week in Wales, we went to this place that used to be a workshop for slate mining. And it was raining really hard, and everyone was huddled inside the cafe. But I went outside with my Zero pinhole camera and my Nikon F2, which doesn't matter if it gets wet, because hey, it went to Vietnam, didn't it? You know,
yeah,
and or maybe the F did,
right?
And I was just shooting. It was very dull conditions, but there was loads of rain everywhere, and I just shoot wide open, and I was just, because I didn't want to get wet really. I was just banging off all these different images, and I had in my mind a whole series of shallow focus industrial pictures, bits of slate, bits of engine wheel, and so it enabled me to really. I had this image in my head of these series of pictures, and it allowed me to work fast because I was getting wet, you know?
Right.
And so that, and it was, I couldn't do that really with my RB67 or my Rolleiflex, not so well.
Oh,
anyway,
no. You
know. Yeah.
So there's, I tend to use cameras for specific applications, really. And, you know, that way I justify having loads of cameras.
Yes, we have to justify that.
Well, not, when you, don't, you don't have to, Diane, because you could just make them out of whatever you want, and that's why you have.
Well, are you
nearly
going
100?
What sort of thought process do you go through when you think of your, how many homemade pinhole cameras have you got on your shelf? 60, 70?
75 or 80.
So by now, are you familiar with all of them and the different sort of effect you want? So can you go say, well, I'm going out to shoot a flat guy up against a tree, and so in my head I know what I want to look at, so I go for this camera?
Or kind of, yes.
Is it more of a crapshoot, as you'd say?
I kind of do. I mean, I'm not going to say I always have the right camera for it, but I'm usually pretty happy with it. And I, because I only take one and I've got one piece of paper in there, I kind of have to make it work.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it's like, I've always thought of this as having an instant camera where you take the picture and the film shoots out. So it's always kind of one off. It's not like I have a whole bunch of film in there to make it work, but I have to make it work because I only have one piece of film or one piece of paper
in there.
But
you're familiar enough with your created cameras
pretty much,
to know
what's going to happen.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
Yep. I mean, there's times that it doesn't come out just the way I want, but for the most part, it does.
I really like that comfort level with something that you use so repetitiously, you know, that you've got to the point where you just can almost just close your eyes and do it, you know, like, you know, you already can pre-visualize what's going to happen and you're already editing everything because you already know how it's going to look, you know.
I'm very comfortable with doing the anamorphic ones with the pinhole, the pinhole at the end, because I can almost guarantee what the results are going to be and that I'm going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
How are you calculating your exposure? We asked Jana that, and I don't think we got a satisfactory answer, so I'll ask you.
She's like, well, the light comes in and hits the paper, and there you go.
Well, from pretty much the beginning, and I was thinking about this morning, at first I used an app on my phone, and I thought, well, what did I do before I had a phone? That was a good question.
Yeah.
I think I had an iPod that I could download stuff on. So I used Pinhole Assist, and I thought it was wonderful and fabulous, but they did a lot of upgrades to it that kind of changed it. So now I use one called Pinhole Master. And I can't go wrong with that. And there's a lot of purists out there who say, well, you shouldn't even use that. You should just know by now how much exposure you need. Well, I'm just not that good.
Oh, yeah, we don't subscribe to that. if that was the case, we'd only be shooting pinhole in oatmeal containers with paper negatives, you know, tinfoil pinholes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it was many years before I had the Pinhole Assist app, and I got my Zero 2000 camera about 15, 16 years ago.
Wow.
And all I ever did, I mainly used HP5, but sometimes FP4 or a Pan F, but one of those, but mainly HP5. So I became, because we don't have such bright sunshine normally, so HP5 is very forgiving as well. So I used to just take a normal meter reading or guess Sunny 16-y type thing, and then on the back of the Zero, I would use that converter, you know, the F138.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yes.
the little instruction book that came with Zero, or the little sheet that came with the Zero, said, well, if it's a second, multiply it by 4 or something, or 3. If it's 5 seconds, multiply it by 2. And it didn't take into account different film stocks. And I just kind of did that and added a bit normally. And because I found with my results that I could add a bit and the negatives would be good for printing, you know. And
Oh, I applaud you.
And I just used to do that. So in the end, I was just kind of not quite winging it. Alex Yates, he said I used the Force. He was, you know, like from Star Wars. So he said, well, how are you calculating? I said, oh, I'm just kind of half guessing, really. you know, but based on a bit of experience and using the little dial on the back of the zero and multiplying it by two or three. And that worked for years. And now I'm kind of hung up on the pinhole app, and I worry about it a lot more than I used to.
Okay.
Yeah, I really, Pinhole Master just seems to always work for me. So I will stick with that. I will never be so good.
Is that a free? Is that a free app or one you have to pay?
Yeah, I'm sure it's free on iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah, but I love that one. I think it's excellent.
So when you get your anamorphic homemade camera, you're just having to dial in the homemade settings to say, well, you know what your f-stop is. Does it have something in there to say this for an anamorphic camera, or
it has a place, everything gets cataloged in there. It's really easy. You can put all your different cameras with their f-stops, and so when you're ready to use that camera, you just basically touch on the little space and you can go to that listing and find the camera you want, put in what your film is. Mine usually always says paper. And you're set.
There you go.
It sounds much like Pinhole Assist, but
well, you know, the good thing about Pinhole Assist and even the Pinhole Master, now I got to the point to where I know if the sun's shining, it's, you know, a second or less. You know what I mean? Like, I only have to use it now and when I'm in really, really, you know, difficult lighting situations that I'm in, and it's going to be minutes and minutes and minutes, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, once again, it's a matter of familiarity with the tools and the materials, isn't it? And if you're familiar with those, then things get a lot easier and you free up your artistic vision.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, cool. Andrew, mm-hmm. you are familiar with, you know, Howard, right? Howard Arthur Mosher?
Yeah.
And I think with him, I don't think he has to do anything but just go out there and look at the sun. And he's amazing. He's the person I message when I need to know how to do a certain kind of camera. I say, if I want to do this, what would your suggestion be? And I get back this whole, I mean, obviously he's brilliant. He, you know, he tells me just what kind of camera to make and how to make it. And that's it. I mean, to get to achieve the kind of look I want. He is the person you ask.
Huh. Well, we'll put his link, his details in the show notes as well. So Corey will sort that out with you at the end to get his details.
Yep. Yeah.
And do you must know Andrew Sanderson, right?
Yeah, I do. He's an Ilford master printer.
Yes.
And
yes,
I have reached out to him to come on the show too, and I can't remember whether he said
yeah, your name.
Who are you? No, I've got two of his books and I can't recommend them highly enough. One is called Night Photography.
Mm-hmm.
They're paperback books. They're probably out of print, but you can find them. I use a bookseller online called ABE Books, and mm-hmm. they link up booksellers all around the world. A lot of the stuff I buy, I bought a couple of pinhole books from the States, and they ship them over just for a few pounds, and it's marvelous. And it links up all secondhand booksellers around the world, and you can buy any title you want, and it's ABE BOOKS. So you can find Andrew's books, and I have Night Photography and another one which is really good called Home Photography, and it's just about getting inspiration from your house, you know.
That's a good idea.
His book on nighttime photography is probably the definitive book if you're shooting film and want to shoot outside. He gives lots of useful tips, lots of tables and exposure issues with different types of street lighting, what to look for, where to base your exposure. So, and mm-hmm. I communicate with him quite regularly. He's now a part of our group. He's on the Facebook group. He posted that picture with some X-ray film mm-hmm. with some creepy crawlies, some spiders and stuff recently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty certain I've reached out to him to come on the show at some point.
Cool.
But you were, what were you going to say about him?
I was just going to say that he and I talk. And yeah. I had for a long time been rating my paper at 3, and he told me he uses 2, and it was great. It was great for him to tell me that, because now I rate my paper at 2 and I can definitely see a difference.
Well, you're getting a bit more, you're just getting a bit more exposure, a bit more density on the
picture. Yes.
Well, is that Ilford? I was going to ask you, is that Ilford multi-grade resin coated or something?
Just the regular stuff?
Yes.
Cool.
And the other paper that I use a lot is the Arista EDU. Mm-hmm. Number 2.
Is that just a grade? Like, is that a graded paper?
Yes, graded. And it seems like I can't go wrong with that paper. Mm. I always end up going back to that. I mean, if I run out of the little slightly more expensive paper, I'm not hesitant to go to the Arista. I love that paper.
So you're not doing pre-flashing or nothing like that?
No.
Just put it in and go take the picture and develop it?
Yes.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes. No,
I think the pre-flashing is, I think, more for the direct positive stuff, which is extremely contrasty. But
yeah.
I think with paper, Ilford paper, or it sounds like that Arista material, probably not necessary. A few people have said that now, haven't they, that we've spoken to, said that they don't pre-flash.
Yeah.
I never learned anything really about it, so I never did it. So
I do it in the I do it occasionally in the darkroom if I'm struggling with highlights to get some density in, and mm-hmm. I'll do some tests. It's a very easy process to establish where your maximum flash point is before you add proper density. You're just effectively overcoming the inertia of the paper, so you it just helps bring those highlights in a little bit more.
Gotcha.
Control the contrast. But it's a fairly easy process to do. But, you know, it's just another thing. If you don't have to bother with, then
you're much more of a trained photographer than I am. I mean, I've had to just learn by asking and reading. And
Don't tell him that, Diane.
No,
don't tell
Corey.
Him that. It's going
to
go to him.
Corey is a trained photographer. He's been to college. I've just had loads of experience and read lots of stuff. And I'm
not that big of a college. It's just a community college.
Yeah.
But I think one of the really great things about, and I think it's the pinhole photographers as much as not, that they're willing to share information.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about with Jaina.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's really apparent with the groups that we have.
Well, there's no secret, you know. You see, it's just we're all using the same paper and for the most part, the same cameras, you know. I mean, there's no reason why nobody has a secret sauce, unless they're spreading mustard all over their paper and their film before they take pictures with it or something weird.
Oh,
you know?
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure some people are, if they're doing that film souping stuff, you know.
Soaking it in Earl Grey tea, you know. I mean, there's no telling what's going on, but
there's just so many people out there doing so many interesting and exciting things.
Toning? Do you tone any of your pictures? That one I was looking at earlier called Tin Camera looked a bit browny color.
That may have been that I did something with some tea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
what, drink it or just spill it over your photograph?
I spilled some and it worked.
Well,
I like to, after everything's said and done, take tea and a really nice brush and touch up in places and see what'll happen.
Right.
Who knows?
Huh.
And it's only a piece of paper.
It is.
So,
yeah.
You
can. It's not the end of the world.
Why not experiment?
So I think that since Andrew has his barbecue, which is towards the end of its life, I think you should turn your grill into a pinhole camera, Andrew. An anamorphic barbecue grill pinhole camera.
When I go into my daughter's house and I ask her about a tin, she goes, "No, you're not having it. You have enough."
Aw.
I know.
Diane, give me your address, Diane. I'll secretly send you tins I come across that I can't use.
Ooh.
Shirley, where are you getting all these tents from? Well, I have a supplier now since you're being a drag.
A pusher, oh. a tin pusher.
A pusher, a pinhole pusher.
Now, awesome. do you know, I have no idea if you've ever had her on Astrobeck.
I haven't, no. But I'm frantically Becky. Writing it down again. No.
Yeah, if you look her up on Facebook, that's just her name that she goes by because she's very much into, she has like one of those things in her backyard to look at the moon. What do you call those things? It's like a...
Solographer thing?
Telescope?
Like, it's a telescope, but it's a little room. Like
thing. Oh, yes, an observatory.
Yeah. She has one of those, I believe, and she is very much involved in that.
Wow.
But she,
so that's Astra, Astra as in stars, is it?
Astrobeck, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure you can find her.
Yep.
Becky, oh gosh, I can't think of her last name, but I'm sure you can find her.
Yep.
She is pretty much one of the first people to tell me about doing pinhole.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
She does pinhole pictures of the stars, does she?
And she takes a lot of pictures of the night sky, but she's one of those people that can just look at a situation and know how long to expose for. Oh my gosh, not me. Literally by just kind of feeling the atmosphere.
Testing the humidity.
But she would be a great person to have on.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we have now Lena Kalberg from Matchbox. Yep. We have Katie
Cook.
Portraits, yeah, self-portraits, and we have Becky Star Becky.
Yeah, Astrobeck.
Cool.
She has a website, so I'm sure you can
That'll
find her.
That'll keep us back. Going for another 3 weeks.
Corey. There you go.
There you go. I would love to have...
Who else should we get on?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to start doing reviews, so if anybody wants to send us anything, we're going to start reviewing stuff too. So I'm just picking.
Really?
No. Who are you saying, Diane? I'm sorry.
I was just saying I would love to see Katie Cook on there because she was one of the people that totally inspired me. And she's been very nice different times, commented on my work. And I just think it would be great to have her on.
Sounds good.
Consider it done. Well, we can't force her, of course. We can ask her.
I think you can find us through Facebook. I think she must be a friend of mine on Facebook. I don't see her on there a lot. I mean, she has a lot of interests. Mm-hmm. But it's Katie, KATIECOOKE.
We'll send Neil Piper around to...
rough her up.
Yeah, rough her up a bit.
There you go.
Make her an offer she can't refuse.
She is.
Encourage her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Positively push her.
There you go.
All right. Awesome. Well, hey... I think we are getting towards the end because we're starting to get delirious, I think.
No delirium. Yeah.
Diane, if you want to let everybody know where they can go to have a look at your work and get in contact with you if they have questions or just want to talk, you know, if you...
Sure. ThePinholeQueen.com is pretty much where I post all my pinholes for the most part, and I remember to actually do it. And my email address, and I'm happy to give it out if anybody has questions, is exposure2@light spelled LITE at gmail.com. So
awesome.
If anybody's interested and has questions, that's where you can find me.
We will put it in the show notes so everybody can track you down. And you're on Instagram too, aren't you?
I am. I think it's exposure to light. There you
go. I think that I've realized now when I clicked on the reason I was getting old stuff, it was the pinholequeen.tumblr. It's your Tumblr account.
That wasn't my original thing. Yeah. And then I changed it to .com.
Yeah.
But
that's because when I looked on the phone, I saw your most recent Norwich shots. But Diane, Diane was my double exposure partner.
I know for the Git swap, right?
Yeah, I saved some postage. I just wandered over to her and said,
"There you go."
There you go.
I came over Say there cheese. Just to pick that up.
I'll be getting that camera. I was talking to Moni about it actually. I was talking to Moni about it, and she was showing me the schedule, and I was like, "Oh, it's going to be a year before I get it," you know. She said it might be. So I'm looking forward to getting that same camera so I can shoot it. So it's
there was a delay for me because I received it and then I went and had my hernia operation. So I was kind of laid up for a couple of weeks. And
so it's Andrew's fault. It is hernia. Yeah. All right. Oh. Well, Andrew, where can our listeners track you down at?
You can track me down in Warboys, which is a village in the Fens.
Yeah.
And that's where
it's Warboys, flat.
Yeah, it is. That's where Warboys Snapper comes from. And for pinholes, it's Warboys Snapper _pinholes on Instagram. But everywhere else, it's just Warboys Snapper generally.
Just Warboys Snapper, right?
Yeah. And you? Oh, yep. Sorry, Diane. Go.
I was just going to say, I found that picture you were talking about. And it was just, I was just saying that I used a tin can camera.
But do you see what I mean about the sky? It was kind of all ethereal and floaty and starry.
It just something happened in the developer. But those kind of things are.
That's not good enough. You need to tell me how to do it so I can copy you.
I can't do that, but that's what happens when you have paper. I mean, sometimes just weird little things happen, but that's okay.
That's right. Yep.
And you're Pinhole Cannon, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon and at the Lensless Podcast on Instagram. I'm pretty much taking care of Instagram, and Andrew's doing Twitter. You can email us at thelenslesspodcast@yahoo.com. Yep. And we have Flickr. And a Facebook group.
We do. Yes, you can find us there. And they're slowly building, and very exciting it is too.
Yeah.
And if you have the Anchor app on your phone, you can send us a voice message, and you can give us some abuse or praise or give Curry some abuse. Be nice to me.
Yeah.
What else do we want? Oh, if anyone out there wants to come on the show and they can, you can listen to Diane and see and if you can talk like Diane or Jaina or
come join us
yeah, or you've got people you'd really love to hear interviewed like Astra Beck and like Lena Kalberg and like Katie Cook, three great recommendations. If you've got those sort of people, they may already be on our list, but get in touch.
Yep, we're great. Waiting
we're waiting
awesome
we're poised yep. We're poised by the phone.
So thanks, Diane, for coming.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We're glad we finally got it worked out for it to go down.
Now that I was back in the living, yes.
Yeah, back.
Yeah, lovely to speak to you again, Diane. Very briefly, we met in Norwich very briefly, but it's great to finally catch up and have a proper chat with you.
Thank you.
Cool. So, everybody, we hope you have a great week, and we will talk to everyone soon. Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.